Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is exactly 4 o'clock Central Time in St. Louis on the 24th of October. That's Thursday, and we have 12 days left. That's it. 12 days. We're down to the end. And when Kamala speaks at the Ellipse next Tuesday, we'll be down to 7 days. So we know what we're going to talk about on Tuesday, because Kamala is no question going to give an incredible speech on Tuesday. That's going to be big. I know some people are trying to make big news out of the fact that Warren Buffett is going to endorse nobody. And all I can say is, if Warren Buffett is endorsing nobody, which, you know, everything's a lie, so who even knows? But let's assume that that's true. Then he's a moron. Or maybe we should be nice about it and say, hey, he's over 90 years old, so funny things happen. I have to laugh that Bill Gates is so far endorsing nobody. On the other hand, he's donated $50 million to Kamala Harris. So sounds like an endorsement to me. But anyway, it doesn't really much matter, because no endorsement means anything except John Kelly. Now, that means everything. And this is the second day that the only thing being discussed, well, here and there are a few other things too, but mostly Hitler. I'm not going to do that tonight, by the way. I did it last night. I wanted to. It was a good thing to do. But you can count how many times I say Hitler tonight. It probably will not exceed 10, I assume, since I know me. But you never know. I will tell you that yesterday was quite a day across the United States, and it continues today. I drove in here just, you know, a few minutes ago, and that's all that was being discussed at that point. And it was talked about most of the day with a few interruptions, but that's, you know, mostly that. And, well, that makes sense, because no other candidate in history has been the fascist candidate. Now, don't get me wrong. In the old days, we used to call everybody a fascist. And if you looked at us the wrong way, we said fascist. And then it sort of disappeared for a long time until somebody came out and said, I actually support fascists. I said somebody, but you know who it is. Yeah, Donald. Well, anyhow, we all knew that that was his interest. His wife told us, and now Kelly has told us. And that's pretty much the end of the conversation. I've got no more to say on that topic, because I have too many other things to talk about today. Tomorrow, that's another day. Maybe tomorrow I may go berserk and do it again. But today, no. Other topics. So, you know, I'm thinking about the economic piece today. And the reason I'm thinking about it is because the needle is actually moving right now in favor of Kamala. The polls are showing that by a small margin, that people in the United States now think that Kamala Harris will do better on the economy. Better on taxes. Better on fiscal policy. Better on everything that has to do with money. People are saying that they support what Kamala is recommending. Now, it's only by a small margin. So clearly, you have a bunch of people on the Republican side who are still buying into the story that our economy is essentially destroyed. Now, of course, we know that's not true. And The Economist magazine, as I pointed out yesterday, and it might have been the day before too, but The Economist magazine said that the American economy is the envy of the entire world. And that's true. Now, it doesn't mean we're perfect, and it doesn't mean that there aren't problems down the line that are coming. And I have to tell you that I haven't read one article that outlines the problems down the road here. And so I'm going to talk about them a little bit, because there are problems. And I see them. Well, I mean, I've been an economic commentator for 60 years. No, 56. About when I was 16 years old, I was on Los Angeles television talking about economics. I'm not going to get into a long story about how I learned all that, but I just did. And so I did that all the way back into the 1960s. I wrote for Barron's. I wrote for the Post-Dispatch. I spoke on many different networks. I do know economics. And, of course, I was also in the securities business for, I guess, officially maybe 35 years. And, you know, I'm still deeply involved in markets. So, having said that, the first thing I have to emphasize, which I have, but I'll do it again, and probably again before we get through with this election, and that is the tariffs are a disastrous idea. We've tried it, and when we tried it in 1930, it led to basically the second deepest recession, depression, of course, second deepest in history. The reason I say that is because the first one, the worst one, before anybody can remember a thing, was 1838 to 1943. I'm sorry, 1843. 5 years. It was deep and destructive, and tariffs also played a role in that depression. But that's, you know, long ago and far away, and no one's thinking about that. But the Great Depression certainly is close enough, 100 years almost, and it's worthy of our consideration. And, of course, tariffs were the biggest cause, according to many economists, of the lengthy and depth of that downturn. The length and depth of that downturn was definitely tied to these tariffs. Just a bad idea. It disrupts trade. It leads to fights economically between countries. And it puts a burden on the American people that's really unsustainable when you have other problems at your doorstep. Now, at the moment, we don't have those other problems, but we might soon. And I've said this before, I know, but let me also explain something. Because, you know, I got a couple of brothers that love to make fun of me, but here's the key. Every market top takes much longer than anybody anticipates. people like me look at the numbers and we think about what's going on and we think we see something, and we do. And then we say, okay, let's give it a little time. And we do. And the next thing you know, we think, oh, wow, this is it. It's coming. And you know what? It's still not there because the economy is really strong in both ways. It's tough to turn. But the bottom line is that it will turn. Apple, Amazon, Google, Alphabet, of course, Meta, which is Facebook, Netflix, you know, all of these giant successful companies have carried the indexes far beyond what might have been expected, except for the fact that you have to realize that what you should expect is that every kind of runaway market, which sometimes, you know, we think of as parabolic. Parabolic is like this. Any of those tend to go a long time, and eventually they become bubbles, and the bubbles burst. Now, this is not a prediction. I'm just going to tell you what people are saying that actually know what they're doing as far as measurement. And these people who do measurements have for some time said that the AI bubble is bigger than the bubble that occurred in the year 2000, the computer bubble, the tech bubble, which burst, and then, of course, the NASDAQ fell 90%. So they're all saying this one has gone further. This one is more extended in terms of all these different measurements than what happened in the year 2000. It's been true for a while now, and it hasn't stopped the market from going up. And here we are. You know, we had a big drop yesterday. In fact, the drop yesterday in the S&P at one time was 1,000 points if you measure it in terms of the Dow. And then it bounced. It bounced overnight, couple hundred points, bounced some more today, went back and forth, and then sort of stuck. Didn't go up anymore, didn't go down. These things are so tough, very difficult. You know, I always say it's like a baseball player. I mean a professional baseball player. You know, a professional baseball player knows maybe what that pitcher is going to throw, but two-thirds of the time he strikes out. One-third of the time he hits the ball, and every once in a while he hits it over the fence. And that's sort of what it's like for a great stock trader. So I'm telling you, it's very difficult to pin these things down, except for to say that you can tell what is about to be thrown by the pitcher, and you just don't know which time you're going to be able to connect big. You can't be sure. You can make guesses, but you can't be sure. Now, the other side is, you don't have to connect every time, just like a baseball player. If you connect once in a while and you hit some home runs, that's good enough. So here we are. The market is way beyond the expiration date of this bull market. Shouldn't be going this far. You know what Greenspan said years ago? Irrational exuberance. But guess what? It goes on. Irrational exuberance continues. Now, remember this. That irrational exuberance has nothing to do with Donald Trump, nothing to do with Kamala Harris, nothing to do with Joe Biden, nothing to do with that music that just popped up. nothing to do with anything. No connection. It has to do with public psychology. Public psychology runs until it stops. And one of the things that we say about this public psychology is we sort of call it the greater fool theory. And the theory is that you will be able to buy at a ridiculously high level and sell it to somebody else at a higher level because that person will be a greater fool than you are. That's the theory. Okay, Greg says, quarterly report due at the end of October. It's going to be like this for at least a week, predicting new record high. So Greg says, new record highs. But let me say this, and I apologize because I do like you, Greg, but there's another theory, and it's called the odd lot theory. And the odd lot theory is that when the odd lots get really brave and step up and tell you what's going to happen, watch out because they're always wrong. Now, that's a theory. That doesn't mean it's true. But I'd say Greg's an odd lotter. And when I say odd lotter, in the old days we said odd lot was less than 100 shares. But he's a small investor, that's all. We all are. I mean, as compared to Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and those kind of gigantic investors who often have some degree of awareness that goes beyond the public. And plus, they can hold longer in both directions because they've got unlimited money. So anyway, I'm going to say, Greg, watch out because the odd lot theory may attach to your latest prediction. Nevertheless, this is not about trying to guess the market top day. That's not the issue. The issue is there's a top that's coming. And by the way, Greg's right. There is a group of reports coming out next week. One of them's Amazon. One of them's Apple. And undoubtedly some others, maybe Microsoft. I'm not sure. But at any rate, a bunch of the big companies are coming out at the end of October, the 30th, the 31st. And the result of those reports, well, funny thing. A lot of times if the reports are anticipated to be really good and then they come out good, the market tanks. Again, it's just theory. It's just theory. And again, I repeat, it's like a baseball player. You know if the guy throws three times in a row low and away, and it's now 3-0. Well, unless he's trying to walk you, good chance the next one might be inside, on the inside corner. And if you can back off, you might be able to pull it over the left field fence if you're a right-handed batter. I mean, this is theory. Theory. Doesn't always work out. The guy may try to put it somewhere, and it ends up on your head. So, yeah, it's all complicated. But there is a great deal of connection between how theory seems to work in baseball and how it works in stock trading. That I can tell you. I've watched it long enough. I've been trading since I was 13, so that makes 60 years of trading. So I've got some experience. I kind of know a little bit about what's happening. And I will tell you that the strength in Apple and Microsoft and Amazon and Netflix and Meta and Alphabet, all of these, although Alphabet's a little weaker because it's got some additional problems coming from the government. But here's the deal. Those stocks are holding the market up because they amount to this giant part of the indexes. And when they turn down, watch out, because I, again, point to the Russell 2000 for you. The Russell 2000 made its peak 5 years ago. Hasn't gotten back since. And in the meantime, in the most recent 6 to 8 months, the Russell's been going essentially sideways. That's the vast majority of stocks. That's the overall broad market that is not doing well. It's up there near its high, but below its high. And it's just a bad sign. It's something that we call, which I mentioned many times earlier, a narrow market, because all the interest is very narrow. It's narrowly focused on Amazon and Apple and Microsoft and those. That's not good. And in this AI bubble, there is certainly the potential for everything to blow up and then to see things, you know, caving in. If the cave in comes sooner, then, well, it could conflict with November 5th. I mean, that's for sure. So we'll see if that happens. That's a fear that I've had. You don't want that. I mean, you don't want it if you're for Kamala. Right now, nobody's, you know, really focused on this much because the market's essentially at the high. It's right there. It's right at the all-time high. And it's a, you know, a couple points below, but it's at the high. And so nobody's going to say anything because nobody wants to look dumb. But it's okay to talk about this in certain terms. If you're an economist, that's all right. So we can do that. So again, I say this. Tariffs are the most dangerous thing out here. I mean, you could get a market collapse or crash or whatever you want to call it. Everybody will come out okay. I don't mean you won't lose any money. You might. You might panic, sell. You might fail to sell ahead of time and just ride it all the way down. I don't know. But, you know, markets do bounce back. Now, the problem with how they bounce back is sometimes there are stocks that you might own that may not be part of the comeback. That's a problem. Now you're in trouble. But that aside, I can tell you that this market is fragile. That's all. We keep hitting new highs, but it's fragile. I have been in the opposite markets. I've been in every kind of market. I've been in down markets. And the best example I can remember, well, there's some others, but March 2009, that was a tremendous bottom in the middle of the beginning of Obama, but in the middle of the beginning. And the market for, I'd say, 2 months, February and March, kept going down. Every day, a little more, a little more, a little more, after it had already been decimated. And there were signs everywhere that the market was going to explode upward. And it did. And, you know, a lot of people were afraid to buy. But that's the kind of situation where you can just buy and just, you know, sit through it for a couple of months because it will go up. And it did. Big. So, okay, that's the opposite of where we are now. Right now, we're on the other side, and the other side is tougher because going short the market, well, first of all, it's scary for a lot of people. Some people, most people will never do it. I have told the story here that Joe Kennedy, who made first most of his money in bootlegging, then took that bootlegging money and sold the stock market short in 1929. And today, that's why the Kennedys are a wealthy family, because he bet on a big down market. And he was right. We know that George Soros and his partner, James Rogers. James Grant's another great economist, but no, James Rogers. Those two, And James Rogers is very conservative. But those two bet on the pound, the British pound, collapsing. And they just kept pouring money into it all the way down. And they made billions. And that's where all their money comes from today. They didn't steal it. They're not the devil. They just were very smart traders. So here we are. I mean, we're at another one of these inflection points on the market. And, you know, just because I say it's an inflection point doesn't mean it can't go up a little further. It always can. And that's why I was bringing up my brothers, because they love to say, well, a stop clock will be right twice a day. Well, it's not like that. It's really not. At these inflection points, you might continue to say down, 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 or up, up, up. But eventually, if it does move that way, you can make a lot of money. It's not a stop clock story. This is real, you know, money management. And it's way beyond what people understand. The public understands none of this. And truly, if you're listening to this now, you may have already turned off and said, what's he talking about? But this is just a real thing in economics. And given the stock market today and what we're dealing with in terms of the cost of living and other problems that people have, it's worth knowing something about. You ought to learn it in school, but our schools don't teach it. Why? Stupidity. I've written papers on it, but it doesn't matter. We don't do it. And so people don't know. Okay, let me tell you something else that's happening right now. There is a 7% mortgage rate at this point. Now, wait, before we do that, we're going to talk to Ray Hartman. So here we go. Ray Hartman.
Mr. Kaysen, yeah. Always a pleasure.
Don't you love technology?
I do.
Yeah, it works great. So here you are. You're on the air. And I just thought it would be nice to talk to you for a couple of minutes and see how you're doing. Sure. And also tell you that I'm talking to a lot of people who have seen your ads, and they love the ads.
Well, thank you. We got one ad, and it's we're riding it, and we've got over 325,000. I think you probably you're more suited to checking this. I think we had 300 and some thousand views on YouTube, which I don't know much about, but that sounds like a lot.
I'd say it does. It's good.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm what Bill McClellan likes to refer to as 20th century man. Of course. No, but Mark, I'm having, it's so nice to be on with you and your listeners. And viewers, I guess, except I assume I'm not being viewed, but
right.
Just put up a picture of George Clooney or something.
Sure.
But anyway, I have a good time, and it's really been, people have been so nice. I have to say, I wasn't expecting it to be as, people really been nice. I don't know how to explain it. It's a better experience in some ways than I expected. And I do think it's going to be a close election. First of all, if you follow my work at all in Donnybrook, you wouldn't want me to make a prediction because I don't make them very well. I actually do have a feeling that this is a close election, you know, I mean, everywhere. And that I don't think our race is necessarily an exception to that.
Well, the funny part about it is I know you didn't want me when I was talking about Hitler, you know, but that was before John Kelly told us that actually Trump, you know, thinks that Hitler was a good guy.
You know what's sad about this? I mean, obviously, there's a lot sad about it. But you know what? And I had a friend suggest this to me. I hadn't really looked at it this way. The problem, you say, well, how can that not just cause everybody to
right.
I mean, you know, you say, how are you going to, what, your argument is what? That my 401k was better under Hitler.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, where are we going here?
Right.
And I think a friend of mine who's very astute had an interesting perspective. And the way he looked at it is, for half of the country, politics has become a reality TV show. And that they don't really care about politics. They don't like it. They don't follow it. Donald Trump is somebody I never watched for 1 minute on reality TV when he was a serious star. But there are millions and millions of people who followed him and liked him. We forget that sometimes, that he came in with a base, not just a political base, but a base of many, many people that watched The Apprentice or whatever he was on. And that, to them, it's kind of macabre, I admit. It's kind of weird. But for them, it's a reality TV show, and the Hitler episode coming up seems interesting. It's just nuts. But it's like, it's what we're dealing with here. And one of the problems is people on our side just keep, you know, I'm just kind of tired of wringing the hands and saying, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand it. Guess what? It's happening. And we just got to turn out more people that actually care about our politics in something other than that reality show context, and that are serious about them and care about the, you know, it's just, that's what we got to do. And I mean, I don't know what else to say. I will say that I don't know if I shared this when I was on last time. Did I tell you about my experience in Union, Missouri? It might have been since I was on.
I don't think so.
I was at a Corvette show in Union, Missouri last Saturday. Yeah, campaign. I happen to have a very high opinion of Franklin County, and I don't view it as an outlying thing. We actually have more voters in Franklin County in the second district than St. Charles County based on turnout in the primary, because the gerrymandering added Franklin County to the second district and removed 2/3 of St. Charles County, which not everybody realizes. But anyway, point is, I was in Union, Missouri, and I tried a different tack, because early on in the campaign, Mark, I'd talk to somebody and they'd say they were for Trump. And I would say, well, tell me why. And I would try to explain. And then I learned that was not a smart thing to do. So what I say to them now, I mean it, and I'm not ridiculing them when I say this. I actually am doing the opposite of calling them deplorables.
Right.
So I'm not going to do that. So what I say to them now is, say, you know, I think I have a pretty good idea. I said, this happened with 4 different people. I said, you know, I know I'm in Trump country here. And I said, I also know that I think I have an idea of why you're for Trump. And they kind of say, well, what do you think it is? And I say, I think that you think he has your back. Okay. I think that's why you like him. Now, I'm just taking a guess. Am I right? And in all 4 cases, they say, yep. And I said, here's the deal. I don't think so, but I'm not going to waste your time or mine talking about that. But I will tell you this. The reason that you have to vote for Trump is actually the same reason you have to vote for me, because I'll have your back. And you're talking about in my opponent, Ann Wagner. I said, look, I ain't running against Trump. I'm running against Ann Wagner. And it's true, because I'm not, what good is it going to do for me in Missouri to run against Trump? And I said, you know, and that doesn't mean I like Trump or I'm softening it. But I said, look, the reason to vote for him, the same reason to vote for me, is I will be there. I'll have you back. You might not agree on me on every subject, but you know that if you have a problem, you'll have somebody in your corner, particularly when it comes to jobs in the district or whatever, healthcare, various issues, I'll have your back. And I won't ghost you, and I'll hold public town halls, and I'll have, you know, a good example. You know, she's got an office in Washington, Missouri that she picked up from her predecessor, Blaine. When Blaine Lukemeyer had it, they had an office. And, of course, it switches from his district to hers because of gerrymandering. You know what she doesn't do? You know, they pay rent with taxpayers' dollars. You know what she doesn't do with that office in Washington?
She probably doesn't visit. Oh, I was going to say, maybe she doesn't visit it.
No. She doesn't staff it. I'm not talking about her not visiting it. There's nobody there. It's almost a standing joke in Washington where there's nobody in the office. It's never open. She keeps it open as a, like, I don't know, maybe they use it once every 2 months or something. Literally, nobody staffs it. And that's sort of the kind of, that sort of sums her up. And I will have a, you know, it will be open when I'm elected and they know it. I say, you're going to have a Washington, a Franklin County office in Franklin County of the second congressional district that you can come into during business hours and you'll have access. That's the difference between us. And you know what? I have all four of them said, and I think I may have mentioned to you before, Trump Hartman doesn't look good on a bumper sticker. But and I think what I think of him, which is very much along, you and I think about Donald Trump the same way, and we both have a very dark view of him, and I think we're very right. But from what I'm doing, that's how I'm rolling. You know, you just can't. We've got to win up and down the ballot. And it doesn't mean I'm out there saying anything nice about Donald Trump, but I find that we have to try to understand what's going on here. And it's just, it's a very sad thing for the country.
Well, I'm thinking this, Ray, as you're talking here. Yeah. I'm thinking that when you win, that if I go out and buy a pair of farmer's jeans, you know, with the straps up on top and whatever you call those.
Yeah.
And
you look good in them.
And, yeah. And I was just saying.
Do they sell those at the St. Louis Suit Company?
I can get them too. They'll buy it for me. They'll buy it for me wholesale.
You'll get a better price on them than anybody, any other place.
It's exactly. Like so I'll go,
right, go ahead.
I'll get on that, those jeans, and I'll get myself a hoe and a shovel, and you could have me staff your Franklin County office.
There you go. Now, don't be talking about people in Franklin County. No, actually, it's so funny. I was out there, and there's a story. We're very. I actually really like one, and I'm you know, obviously, he's say as a politician, but. I think Washington, Missouri is one of the great, and I've known it. We printed the Riverfront Times out there in the 80s and 90s, and the Miller family that owns the paper, has owned the paper for generations, just terrific people. And it's one of the, maybe it's one of the very last hometown news in our region. I mean, you think about it. I mean, maybe you think of something like the Webster-Kirkwood Times, which I happen to like a lot, but there really aren't, you know, there aren't many, you know, we our daily newspaper's in a death spiral and really completely out of touch with the people of St. Louis. And the Washington, Missouri still connects, Missourian still connects with people in Washington and Union. And you know what? They're still part of the St. Louis region. They may not themselves identify as St. Louisans, but they're in our metropolitan area. They're Cardinal fans and Blues fans. They're not that different. And I keep telling people that, and people don't want to believe me. Washington, Missouri is not, the people in that city are not that much different than in other parts of my district. They really aren't.
I'm starting to think that they might be basically like the Minnesota farm labor Democrats that supported Hubert Humphrey. So, I mean,
I don't know if I go that far, but yeah, understand. Washington, when we've done polling,
okay.
Washington, Missouri is a very Catholic community. But when we did our polling, and we found that 2/3 of the district wanted Roe v. Wade back, we still had it was at 50-50 in Franklin County. It was still kind of 50-50. And so it's not as there is a difference in that respect from some of the other parts of St. Louis County, St. Charles, and Warren. But you know, Warren and Franklin are more conservative. Let me not minimize it. They are definitely Trump country. St. Charles is kind of quasi-Trump country. And then it's sort of 50-50, although I really believe Kamala Harris is going to win the second district.
Yeah. And I know and by the way, let's not forget, I mean, like you say, it's Trump country or it's been Trump country up until now. But my guess is that it's not Hitler country.
No, and none of it is. And that's my theory that I'm sort of adopted is I think people are just, and it, don't misunderstand, it troubles me. It troubles me and can hear this stuff and not immediately leave Donald Trump, but it's back to that theory of my friends that I kind of like, and that is it's just another episode of a reality TV show. And when you put it in that context, they just don't believe it's real. And I got to tell you something, I'm not one of the people's that thinks that it isn't real.
No. It's real.
By Donald Trump is, I think Donald Trump, the threat posed by Donald Trump is not anything to take lightly, but you and I both know, Mark, he's going to carry Missouri no matter what.
Sure.
And that's why my role, and it's not that I'm like caving in. It's like when I say I'm not running against Trump, I'm not running against Ann Wagner. It's for real. Because honest to God, God forbid he wins, we better have 218 Democrats or more in the House of Representatives, and I could be the 218th. It's probably kind of a dangerous occupation if he's really planning on putting Congress in the gulag.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know, I'm willing to take that risk. And I know you've talked about this, where we're kind of front in the line guys when it comes to that kind of stuff. I will tell you, I don't think that I think that we need guardrails if Donald Trump wins. If you got any undecided voters out there in my district, think about that. Whatever you're going to do about Trump, I hate to say we live in this messed up world where in 43 states, the vote doesn't matter. And we're watching seven swing states, but that's our system right now. And that's all I got to say. We got 43 states and
yep.
seven. We're just
that simple. It's that simple.
The guardrail argument is not spin. We do need guardrails for Donald Trump. And the other thing we need a guardrail for is, you and I know, and everybody knows out there, if Constitutional Amendment 3 passes, as I think it will, I don't think it's going to be as big as we thought it was, but I think it'll win. If the people of Missouri throw down for the rights of women to control their own bodies, you don't think we've heard the last of it, do you?
Not a chance.
The state legislature is going to do, they're going to do what they did with puppy mills and with Medicaid expansion and with clean Missouri that they turned into dirty Missouri. I mean, it's going to be the same act. And again, Congress, if it can be, we're not there yet, but if we could we win the House and make the Senate close enough that the pro-choice Republicans would throw in with us, we could provide Roe v. Wade protection and contraception access protection and IVF protection for all women in America. And that's the guardrail against what the state of Missouri and other red states might do. Because that isn't an argument, by the way, not to vote for Constitutional Amendment 3. We all got to do that. But we got to have guardrails all around. And I think that's how I look at my campaign at this point.
Yeah. It would be nice if we could get medical care for women having children, because it's really that bad. But at any rate,
it would also be nice to have home health care for Medicare recipients.
That too.
Yeah.
Listen, Ray, I really appreciate you calling in and go out and get votes.
Anytime.
We're going to talk again before this is done.
You bet.
Okay.
Much respect to you, and thank you so much.
You bet.
Take care.
Ray Hartman, probably our next congressman in the 2nd Congressional District. I really think so. I think he's got a tremendous chance. I think that his personal fame, he might not call it that, but it is, along with the push at the end here in Kamala's direction, it won't get Kamala a win in Missouri, but it could get Ray the congressional seat. He's only a few points down. That's it. Okay, so first thing I'm going to say is now that Ray's gone, we all need to be thinking about Wendy's for dinner tonight. Great food at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And you know they've got wings, and they've got smoked meat. They've got hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts. Great food, salads. I love the drinks, especially the iced tea. It's really excellent iced tea. I say it all the time because I hope people go and try iced tea. It is really great iced tea. Then you've got the baby back ribs. You've got onion rings. And you put it all together. And you've got a great place to have dinner. And plus, if you're not in Chesterfield Valley, you might go all the way out to Defiance, not that much further, and you'll end up with some great food there because it's the same great Wendy's food that they've got in the Valley out in Defiance. It's all good. It tastes great. I say it all the time. Ben's wife and Ben have put together a great business. You'll love it. That's Wendy's. Now, good jewelry. You can buy good jewelry, great jewelry, nicely designed jewelry, all at Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And that's, of course, in St. Louis. And Al and his son, AJ, they run a great business there. And I can tell you, as far as Al, everybody loves to do business with him. He's just a good guy. And he's right out there on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. They buy and sell coins and jewelry. They've got cases filled with jewelry there. And on top of it all, when you're done, they'll even fix your watch because, and they're good at it because they do all that. So that's Jewels on Hampton, and check them out. And then for a great suit, and here I am another day with another tie and another shirt and all of it, the St. Louis Suit Company. They dress me very well. They make sure everything matches, and it does because I am colorblind. But I can tell you that the suits are great, the shirts are great, the shoes, they even have hats. They've got great overcoats at very reasonable prices, just like everything you buy at the St. Louis Suit Company. And the weather is about to change. I know it is. The weather people keep saying it's any day, but every day it's not. But it's not like the stock market. The weather is going down. That I guarantee. No problem with that. I wish I could short the weather because that would be a profit. But I will say that they also have the $5 ties that are just gorgeous ties. You can never go wrong on their ties. They're silk. They're, you know, beautiful designs. That is the St. Louis Suit Company. After 30 years, they're still in Clayton at Forsyth and Central, and they even do weddings. In fact, when I say they even do weddings, they're especially famous for what they do with weddings. Wedding attire, they are perfect. That is the St. Louis Suit Company. Now, you may think 30 years is good, but guess what? 40 years is better, and that is Talena's in Creve Coeur, and Talena's 141 in Olive. I can tell you, Medi has the best Italian food that you will find anywhere. It really is great. He caters lots of places, and I mean big catering deals. They really handle everything, and they've been there 40 years. They know what they're doing. It's a great Italian restaurant. I love their spaghetti and meatballs. There is none better, and I've had it everywhere. And one of my friends is the guy that franchised all of the pasta houses, Rich Pisani did. And I've been eaten in all the pasta houses. But believe me, the pasta house does not come close to Talena's when it comes to spaghetti and meatballs. They're in a different league. That's all there is to it. So again, Talena's, 40 years, go visit them. You will love Talena's. Okay. There was a gentleman, Terry, who wrote something up here before it got knocked off by some of the other comments. And Terry said that after November 5th, that the stock market would go sky high. Yeah, will be doing even better November 5th when Trump's back. No, Terry, no, 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 that's not true. It's not, it has nothing to do with Trump. No, it won't. Believe me, it'll crash or crash and burn or get slammed, slaughtered. It'll be bad. There are too many people in, and they're all going to be forced out. It's the way markets work. No, it's not going to be pleasant, but it's also not going to be Donald's fault. And I have to say, when I think about Herbert Hoover, there's nothing I would love better than to have Donald do exactly what Hoover did. Walk in with the market going up and then get slammed and slaughtered and then have for the rest of history people saying Trump destroyed the stock market. But honestly, it wouldn't be good for any of us. It really wouldn't. It would be good to destroy Trump, but yeah, we can destroy Trump the right way. Just vote him out. That'll be the end of it. And will Kamala get saddled with this mess? Yes, she will. However, the other side of that is that with Democratic policies, she could do a Franklin Roosevelt and save the day. And don't blame Joe Biden, because that's silly. Joe Biden presided over this tremendous expansion in our economy and all of that. So it's none of that. This is just the way markets work. But I know people will do it anyway, so I can't stop them. But yeah, sometime in the next 4 years, the stock market's going to get slammed. And sooner rather than later, and we'll see who gets the credit for that mess. But tariffs would be front and center if Donald got in and threw tariffs at it. That would certainly crush our world. But right now, people say the U.S. economy is the envy of the world, and we are. You look at the numbers. Our jobs just keep growing, and we do have a jobs report coming out, and that's coming out right in November. That is the beginning of November. That jobs report is coming. In fact, it's you know, a couple of days before the election. So get ready. This is going to be very interesting. But that Friday, I guess it's the 1st. Maybe it's the 2nd. Yeah, it's the 1st. It's the 1st. November 1st is Friday. And that will be the job report for October. So, you know, we'll see that. That's something else we'll have a great chance to talk about. In the meantime, you know, the rates on mortgages have gone back to 7%, even though, you know, interest rates are down. That is, short-term rates are down. But long-term rates are still up, and that's why the yield curve is no longer inverted. And by the way, when an inverted yield curve, which in this case has gone on for over 500 days, when it reverses, that is generally when everything gets slammed. Just telling you. So keep that in mind, too. And then on top of all of that, here's something that Trump had to say. He said that he has extreme power and that he can just walk in and shut the border. Just personally, just walk in and say it's shut, and that's the end of it. Well, if that were true, somebody would have done that a long time ago. And the truth is, they shouldn't have. I don't want it shut. But somebody could have done it and would have done it, but they didn't because they can't. In our system, which is a system of laws, we have to pass a law, which we were about to do until Donald torpedoed the law. Now, I'm just saying, I want more people across that border, and I want to send all those high school kids down there, like a million, call it the Domestic Peace Corps, call it anything you want. and send those kids down there to teach all these people coming from South America how to be North Americans. Wow, this country would really profit from it tremendously. But we're scared because Donald has done that disservice for us. But, you know, these things get worked out. And in this case, I do believe, and I've only said Hitler maybe four times. That's five. So let's make it six, and I'll just say this. I think that when this is over, people will say that Hitler did Donald in. I think that it's that big. And I think that there are enough people who are responding to it. And listen, if they don't even believe that Donald said it, which I'm sure most people, maybe the Donald people don't believe it, but he said it. John Kelly wouldn't lie, and everybody knows John Kelly wouldn't lie. But here's the deal. If we're going to spend 4 years arguing about things like Hitler, well, maybe you don't want Donald Trump. Maybe you think Donald Trump would be great for you. But maybe you don't want your life focused on Hitler for the next 4 years. That would be a good reason not to vote for him. And I think some people might do that. So I'm just telling you that Donald's crazy. He thinks he can shut the border by himself. He thinks he can do a lot of things by himself. He thought he could build the wall by himself, which he couldn't do, and got Bannon indicted for the whole idiotic scheme. And then on top of all of that, there's some talk about business supporting Trump because Trump will reduce the number of regulations. Well, he would do that because he doesn't need a regulation. All he needs is Donald Trump, and he'll just do whatever he wants. But you know what? I'd hate to be a business person relying on Donald Trump firing everybody, which is what he wants to do, and then coming in and doing your bidding. Don't be so surprised. I always say it. Donald Trump will take your vote. He'll take your donation. And when you say, hello, Donald, I supported you, his response will be, he will spit in your eye. Believe me, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about anybody. He cares about one person, Donald Trump. That's all he cares about. Not another thing. So look, you know, we've touched on a lot of things tonight. And I can tell you that really there are probably three things you need to know. And that's enough to elect Kamala. Three things you need to know. Women, blacks, and young people. Women, blacks, and young people will vote for Kamala, and that'll be the end. She might win by 5. She might win by 10. This is not going to be as close as these people think. That's my view. Now, I know Michael Moore says that Kamala will win. James Carville says that Kamala will win. I say Kamala will win. I think they believe it'll be close, but I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be so close. I think that women are going to do a lot of damage to this man. I think they're tired of him. And I'm not even talking about abortion. I'm really not. I'm talking about that they just don't want their doctor's office to be dominated by crazy white men who are basically over 60 years old and have no reason to be in their doctor's office. Not talking about abortion. I'm just talking about medical care. Okay, so I'm going to remind you that with Wendy's, with Jules on Hampton, the St. Louis Suit Company, and Telena's, You can't go wrong. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.